Hey everyone, and welcome to the 13th episode of Field Reports, formerly ARC Episodes, for Medusa's Cascade Collateral Damage. I'm your friendly neighborhood DM Tom, and I've got a few things to cover before we get into the speed run of the next 8 episodes of the campaign. First and foremost, thank you for sticking with us for the last 2+ years and going down the proverbial rabbit hole with us. This is really where it starts getting weird, and it's only going to get more weird from here, and I love it so much. Second, if you can, please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming, and it's definitely worth your time to check out. Lastly, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would all appreciate the love and support. So now, without further ado, we will jump into the 13th episode of Field Reports and the beginning of one of my favorite arcs in the entire campaign, Welcome to Invenus. We'll see you on the other side. Meanwhile, back on Sloan in the Heartwood, the Collateral Damage Party is making last-minute arrangements with Amina, the Arbiter. They're currently making plans and gathering supplies before heading back to Amina in the evening for passage to Invenus. For Galahad to receive a piece of the root of the Heartwood, Amina asks for something in return. Their mission: to recover the Stone of Revival and put a stop to the Web of Fate. Easy enough, right? But who is the Web? And why do they need to be stopped? The Web of Fate is a fanatical cult that has taken hold of the ancient city of Invenus. They worship a forgotten spider god and sacrifice citizens of the city to keep their god's enemy imprisoned in the Stone of Revival. To complicate things more, they're also the people that Salix has been running from for centuries and has seemingly been caught by. On their journey, they will be joined by a Gripply druid that goes by the name of Quan. He is small and the coloration of a poisoned dart frog. Quan had come separately to the Arbiter for guidance on a certain situation that is occurring in his home, the Glasmade Isles. The situation holds an eerie similarity to the effects of the machines. The party accepts the druid's help in return for finding out what's happening in the southeastern island chain. That evening, they are transported to the outskirts of Invenus. The city guards are on high alert, and there are a lot of them. And as quickly as they had a plan for entering the city, they saw that plan crumble. They were not welcomed into the city as they thought they would be. Instead, they are shot at and arrested. Their crime? Espionage. It dawns on them that they were expecting the party. They just didn't think that they'd walk up to the front door. While some members of the party were more inclined to comply, that idea doesn't resonate with the entire group. However, they are all arrested, stripped of their equipment, and they're thrown in cells where they meet Arbane, the bounty hunter who captured Salix with the help of his displacer beasts. Pleasantries are exchanged, and immediately the party hates him, Zex vowing to be the one to kill him. They find that he is one of the high-ranking members of the Whip of Fate, and that they are to be sacrificed with their friend Salix later in the week, during the Blood Moon. Immediately after this encounter, plans begin to form for their escape. Galahad is told by Bahamut that patience will be rewarded, and he does as he did for 50 years, and meditates, and accepts that things will work themselves out. While meditating, he is shown the vision of a three-horned Unalum surrounded by bees, while Zex has a dream in which he's being followed by a gray-green wolf, Solinar. The following day, the two discuss these dreams, their situation, and their plans to reach out to the Unalum Galahad saw. While imprisoned in Venice, the party finds themselves in different headspaces. Galahad and Zex share a vision from Melora about the days to come. Using Locate Object, and with the help of their Unalum ally speaking to Quan in bug form, they are able to get an idea of where their gear is. Plans are made for escape, and Quan makes his way up through the drainage system and begins to get everyone's gear into the bag of holding, using the silence spell to its advantage. Coraline pays a visit to Glad and the rest of the party. He proceeds to say that while he can't be directly involved in what they're about to do, he's going to offer them some aid, and tells Glad to touch her robes when the time is right, meaning that there was an anti-magic field that would hold them within the prison cells, and this would disable it. He offers answers and information to the party as well, which is kind of somewhat puts them at ease. The protector vanishes, and we find the party in the beginning stages of a prison break. As the gear is being redistributed, they settle on a plan of escape. In a combined effort, they use a new move called Silent Night, Night with a K, in which silence envelops Galahad, and before the enemy gets a chance to see what's coming, it's already over. The group dispatches wave after wave of guards as they make their way through the prison, freeing other prisoners as well. Somewhere else in Venice, Salix is starting to realize that they're in some sort of illusory captivity. What they've felt and experienced over the last several days, close to a week actually, several weeks, is magically conjured to keep them there, wherever there is. Eventually, they find themselves in what they assume to be water, suspended, and it is very eerily similar to the tanks in which the party was held in while they were at the constable's vaults and hall. As they start to come to consciousness, they are greeted by the visage of a pallid elf that has come to their aid. With the party's escape from prison, they briefly part ways with the prisoners and reconvene at a safe house within the city. I believe it was in the Artisan's Ward. Meanwhile, Salix is also in the middle of an escape. They find each other in a small part of the tunnel system underneath in Venice, where a large, not large, but a decent-sized group of resistance fighters are currently hiding out. They also meet the rescuer of Salix, the pallid elf, Finia. She is a cobbler by day, but also a resistance fighter at night, running the famed Finia's Fine Footwear. They are told that she has a bunch of information on what they are seeking, and after a late and very needed rest for everyone, Finia manages to give the group a rundown of what's going on as best as she possibly can. Then, suddenly, they find people in a hurry to leave in the opposite direction of them. The group braces themselves for an inevitable fight as the city guard marches into the cavern. Galahad manages to use his frightful presence to intimidate the guards to stand down. He calls out those who lead this group for a good old-fashioned brawl. This is where we find Arbane, a tiefling woman that we will come to find out is named Garen, the judge, and the alternates of both Shanks and Zex. Everyone takes a position as the first fight between collateral damage and some members of the Web of Fate commences. Now, the party puts in a good effort, waging a tough fight with their enemies, even taking down a couple of them. But despite their best efforts, this is where they learn a very tough but valuable lesson. Always take out the healer, because a mass heal from the judge picks up the entire opposing side. Immediately, the tides shift, and the team considers a tactical retreat, which was in their best interest. It's not that they wanted to, because they were very, very close, but they would rather live to fight another day. In a series of choices made out of both creativity and desperation, they begin to make their way toward the opposite exit to the cave. They pick up downed members, fire spells, and strike enemies as best they can on their way out. Galahad even summons his wings and grabs who he can and bolts to the cavern entrance, ready to strike down using a smite and Kana's Fury to cave in at least the entrance. Probably won't buy him a whole lot of time, but they'll definitely take whatever they can. Before moving forward, though, once they've escaped, the group checks in with each other and sort of takes stock of what happens. During this time, Skyra, Argyle's pseudo-dragon familiar, goes to explore the cave up ahead, or the cave tunnels up ahead, and is told to report back to Argyle with anything that she finds. The group rests there and licks their wounds and comes up with a plan of action. They meet back up with the Resistance, and Finia informs them of other notable members of the Resistance who might be able to provide aid to the party. The group decides to visit the tea shop known as Herbal Delights and the owner, Elysia. While there, she divulges a bunch of information on the Web of Fate, their habits and hangouts, and the group decides maybe they should take them out one by one. So this arc is far and away my favorite arc of the entire campaign thus far, as I said in the intro. We get to dive in deep on how the party will actually fare against enemies who are actively looking for them and want them dead. This is actually the first time in the campaign that this is actually happening. Strahd was kind of playing cat and mouse, but he didn't really care one way or the other if they were dead as long as they didn't fuck with his plans. The Revenant were sort of somewhere in between, and the Constable sees them as flies to be swatted at every now and again, so it's not a huge deal for him. This is the first time in which the party is dealing with somebody who is actually very formidable and is actively searching for them and is actively trying to kill them when they see them, or at the very least, capture them so that they can be sacrificed. Also, this is the start of when I start using full PC or player character builds for the main bad guys in each of the story arcs. So they all follow the same rules as the party, so like death saving throws, you know, double taps, that sort of deal. They can be revivified, all of that fun stuff. So they found that out during the course of, in fact, the cavern brawl. If you want to listen to that, I think it's episodes 85 and 86. It's a little long because it is a straight up combat with like 7 or 8 different characters, but it's very illuminating. So things get interesting after this, and I keep saying it and I still believe it, so you're just gonna have to trust me on this. Please check out our social media accounts on most major platforms. Just search for the Medusa's Cascade on the platform and give us a follow. We have some cool stuff coming and it's worth your time to check out. Also, if you're listening on a streaming platform, especially Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please take a few minutes to rate, review, and subscribe. Doesn't seem like a lot, but it does help get the podcast out there for others to discover, and we would definitely appreciate the love and support. So we'll see you next week for a cutscene, which we are now starting to call Divergent Pass, because we're trying to actually have some kind of branding here instead of just throwing things up. So next week will be the third Divergent Pass episode, and in 2 weeks, it will be episode 119 of the actual play. So, until then, safe travels.